Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Happy Halloween, Kills?
Oh, that's the name of a movie.
Happy Halloween, Kills?
Happy Halloween, 2018.
1978.
This is a way to start a podcast.
Welcome to the 8th episode of the official Nerd Talk podcast, Geek Speak. I am your host, Sean. And joined as always is my co-host, Josh, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum, Sandworm Rider, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? Hey, Josh.
What was the name?
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum, Sandworm Rider.
Oh, okay. I heard
Santa Rider?
I clearly got the, you know, ba-ba-ba-ba-bum part, but I did not know what you said after that. That's why I was so confused.
Yeah, it gets played into what I'm going to mention later on, but anyway, hi.
Hello there.
We're back.
We are, in person again.
That's going to be the future of this podcast is in person.
Oh, that's usually how they're done.
Crazy. So we recorded the last episode on week 7 of our school, and now we're on week 10 of school, so it's been a bit, even though the episodes will come out, like, 3 days apart, 4 days apart.
We have, like, 5 weeks left in school.
That's crazy. For the semester, that's crazy.
Still.
Movies happened, Josh.
They did. We saw some of them.
But more than just that, we shot some of them. You made a movie this past weekend.
I did!
And I'm shooting mine this next week. Crazy.
It is.
So, Josh, you mentioned your short film last week. What is that about?
I did. It's about a filmmaker that decides to make a documentary about minimum wage workers and chooses a movie theater to be the subject for his film. But little does he know, no one goes to that theater, so in order to make the dramatic film he wants, he has to make the workers' lives a living hell. And it was a hell of a lot of fun to shoot.
I'm in it.
He is! And he's the lead.
My girlfriend's also in it.
She is! She's great!
She is great. I love her. But it's really interesting. You guys, if you watch this film, probably in 2022... when it's actually publicly released.
Figuring that out.
I am wearing a stuffed bra in one scene, so that's enough cause to go watch this. It's a very fun film. It's very, very silly. If you're okay with hard language, you can watch this film.
I mean...
the F word is said a lot.
Look, if you're used to my language in this, then you'll be fine with the film.
There are a lot of weird antics in it. It's very fun. And as I said last weekend, or last episode, I am shooting my film, and it's about cooperative dreaming, and... hijinks because of that.
Would it be, is it necessarily hijinks or more psychological?
It's low jinks, not hijinks.
Okay. Gotcha. As long as we defy which jinx it is, then it's all good.
Jinx like the Pokemon?
Yes. Cool. I don't know anything about that.
Cool. Anyway, Halloween is today. Well, today is actually the Wednesday before Halloween.
Shh, don't tell them that.
This comes out on Halloween. So today, Joss? No?
Do not compare me to him.
What are you dressing up as today, Josh, on Halloween today?
Well, sir, I am Ted Lasso. I'm from the TV show Ted Lasso. You see me with my soccer ball here and my words of antics? Yes.
Your what?
My words of antics.
Cool.
I usually use alliteration, but right now I can't think of any alliterations to alliterate with.
Great mustache on your face. I can totally see right now.
Yes, but the mustache is very real, as it normally is.
So, on Halloween Day, which ends on Sunday, but today's Wednesday, I am going to be Shaggy Rogers. My clothes are going to be Velma. Velma has a last name, I can't remember it. Dink? No. Well, hold on. I'm gonna Google
it. Does she have a last name?
Dinkley? I think it's Dinkley. Velma Dinkley, yes.
Alright then.
There's Norval Rogers, and that's Shaggy Rogers. There's...
what's Daphne's?
Daphne, hold on. Here's two. It's Fred Jones, Daphne, hold on. Daphne Blake, that's right. I'll be Shaggy, and everyone's going to be Velma, and it'll be fun. We're going to go to a haunted trail on Halloween night.
Ooh.
And then back here, we're all going to watch Beetlejuice or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, we also have news again, Josh, because we're back to news. It's the news that's happened since last recording.
News never existed until we talked about it.
No. News has all stopped. The world has stopped until we were ready for it to start again.
Exactly.
But before news, normally you talk about a Disney Channel original movie. And at least for right now, we're going to put them on there as their own episodes, like their own little mini, like, 20-minute episode instead.
See how that works.
They might come back into the episodes again later on.
We'll find out.
But right now, it seems easier to record them after we record these episodes, because they take extra time to go out and out of our way to go do. Next episode will be about Halloween Town, because it's our Halloween special for 2021.
Well, which Halloween Town, Sean? Because we've already talked about the first.
Two, Josh!
But what's it called?
Is it not called Halloween Town 2?
It's Halloween Town 2, Salazar's Revenge. No, Calabar's Revenge.
Yeah, it was Salazar's Revenge. Like the Chamber of Secrets?
Yes, it was a crossover that no one ever expected.
Okay. Whew, that's weird. So, Disney Channel original movies are watched because you're seeing how the biggest media company on Earth caters towards solely children with a large sample size over a short period of time. That's actually why this podcast was originally started, the idea of that.
So it was more the idea of let's lose our minds to watching all the Disney Channel movies.
Right. And they definitely range in quality, and they're all like at least somewhat fun, and children will be entertained by them. So definitely check out our talks on that. The one that came out last will be the 13th year, and the one that comes out next is Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge, you said? Not Salazar Slytherin's Revenge?
Correct.
Cool. They will be put back into main episodes maybe at some point, but for now, time will tell. Alright, Josh, here's a question I have for you. What is one positive movie experience that you've had since we last recorded in July until our last episode?
One positive movie experience?
Yeah, that we've not like seen together. So from July through our last recording.
So that we haven't seen together.
I genuinely loved watching Free Guy.
That was a great one.
A lot of fun. I also could not get Bo Burnham's Inside out of my head, and I watched that in July. CEO entrepreneur.
I would have to say No Time to Die. That was a really good experience. Not only was it a really great movie, but it was a great ending for Craig's Bond. And now he has more free time to make as many Knives Out sequels as possible.
Knives Out casting has already finished, guys.
It finished filming.
Yeah, it's crazy. We talked about casting months ago, and now it's done. The movie's finished.
Crazy.
Yeah, Free Guy was great. The Suicide Squad, a lot of fun. There's a lot of movies that have happened that we've enjoyed.
Yes.
And so now, we talk about sad news about movies.
Oh, no.
This is a bad segue. I am very sorry. So,
what good segue would there have been?
There's not like a segue to this. So, if you are not familiar with the IATSE, they were going on a strike. They are people who are grips, gaffers, PAs, anyone who is a below-the-line, like lower-level position on a film set who are doing the actual work on the film set usually, hands-on stuff, they are usually a part of this union. And this union unionized, for a strike, because of very poor working conditions, they are asked to do very long hours for not enough pay for difficult jobs and then get up early the next morning to go do it again. They're asking for enough sleep, have shorter weekends, have shorter days, get paid more, have good safety regulations, you know, stay sane and healthy.
Yes.
Bare minimum, good things to have.
Yes.
And because things are still being discussed, and on the set of the film Rust, there was poor working conditions, so numerous people walked out on set because poor working conditions and we were fed up at this point, and that makes sense. A tragedy struck with... How do I best describe this? Josh, you can start with this.
So,
on Rust.
For anyone that doesn't know exactly how special effects work for film, especially when it comes to handguns, when you, especially in modern films, you never use a real handgun on set ever. That's just
usually the real guns, but without real bullets.
Yes, correct. So they usually either use blanks, or they will add it, or they will add the effect in post, because that is way safer than using blanks. Because blanks oftentimes can release shrapnel whenever they are fired. People can get injured, and in this case, someone died from it.
It is a rare enough occurrence for it to happen. He was told Alec Baldwin ended up killing the cinematographer of the film Rust.
Alec Baldwin thought that the prop gun was as it normally was supposed to be, with blanks, and that nothing was off, but apparently, as it has continued to be reported and discussed and figured out, apparently some people were using the gun offset with real bullets and firing them, and they had not changed it or replaced the gun when they gave it back to Alec Baldwin.
There's usually a system of steps between every single take, making sure the gun is a cold gun. He was even told this: he is being handed a cold gun. After the incident happened, the gun fired, and he accidentally killed Helena Hutchins, is her name? Mm-hmm.
The cinematographer of the film, yes. And injured the director.
Right. Once that happened, he kept repeating words, wildly handed a hot gun. He was in complete shock. This is not Al Capone's fault. This is a systemic problem in film, not anyone's fault on set, necessarily. The armorer was not trained well enough either. When they were hired, they had told in interviews beforehand that they were not a super experienced armorer, which isn't a great thing to hire, but also the problem is for hiring people on set right now, people are walking out because of bad conditions, so you have to get what you can get, but at the cost of safety. So therefore, don't do that. Treat workers better. This is a tragedy, and it's horrible. Our thoughts go out to the family. Check how the set is doing their operations. Make sure it's okay and healthy.
If it is not safe, if it is not healthy, please bring up these concerns and make sure that the proper people are making sure that it is safe or not. And if they do not care, walk out and make sure everyone follows you and demands that they are safe.
So, on a different note...
How different is different? Because sometimes different can mean very weird. You're pausing.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, Josh!
Again, what an amazing segue.
Moving to a happier tone because the ISO strike is a big deal and... what's affecting film right now is also a big deal, and I want people to pay attention to it. So this news is about Will Poulter, the man from We're the Millers, the man from Maze Runner.
I rewatched We're the Millers like 2 weeks ago. It was weird.
So people would have thought he was cast in this Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 as this space Jesus-like character.
Adam Warlock.
Man. Yes, Adam Warlock. And it's, first off, he already had the glow up. He already's an adult now. He was a teenager or a young adult playing all these roles. Life can change you. Don't expect him to not have the ripped abs, guys. He's playing space Jesus made in a perfect body.
If Chris Pratt can go from being like chubby Andy Dwyer to like jacked, ripped Star-Lord, then Will Poulter can easily bulk up as well.
Also, I have seen him in literally nothing, so I am indifferent to those casting.
I've seen him in a few things. We're the Millers. He was funny in it. Black Mirror Bandersnatch. He was good in that.
Bambi.
Yes.
The Rock was SNL sketch?
Yes. The movie Detroit. Fucking incredible in that he was horrifying in the best possible way, and he easily made that movie so great. And I was pissed that he did not get an Oscar nomination for it.
What I think is really funny about this is people who have never read a single comic in their goddamn lives have complained about he's playing Adam Warlock. You don't even know who Adam Warlock is. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, I know who the character is because also he's a big part of many Marvel comic events from, like, the 70s-ish onward. But people who just saw that one teaser of Guardians 2, like, look, it's Adam Warlock. I know everything about him now.
Like, I pretend to know I know things about comics, but when I was 12 and Avengers came out, the post-credits scene, and it was Thanos, I was just like, who was that man? Who was that,
That's Kang the Conqueror, right?
Oh, okay.
So, Josh, yay or nay?
I get that a yay.
Indifferent yay for me. I like, he's got cool eyebrows. They're running away from him. They're like trying to leave his face. Anyway, DC Fandom! Wild! So much news!
Oh yeah, that was a thing.
We got trailers. We got teases for teases for teases trailers.
And did we watch any of this when it happened? No.
We were also on a set of mine when it happened.
We were! That's right.
Yeah, crazy. So, we got a teaser for a teaser for the Flash trailer, apparently. It's a teaser trailer. They kept saying, this isn't a teaser trailer.
That's how it works.
It's a video first look thing. Like, that's a
teaser for a teaser trailer is when trailers on YouTube have like those 5 seconds to introduce you. That's what that is. This was a teaser trailer.
It's a short one. It's fine. It's mostly teasing Batman, but it's fine.
This whole movie is going to be teasing Batman, if we're being honest.
Honestly, I am kind of excited for this. It's a mix of a lot of Flash stories at once, and I think that's fine. Because they're doing this a lot of Flash's most well-known things, and it makes sense for him to do kind of universal stuff.
I just want our theory to come true about it, the Injustice timeline, making that the new Nightmare timeline, and whatever else we said about it.
Speaking of her now, we did see Sasha Calle as Supergirl.
Yes.
In this.
Fade out in the background, but she was there.
Yeah. And there's two Barry Allens. One of them has got to be evil.
Yes. I've seen enough movies to know that he will be evil.
The one with longer, shaggier hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously. If you've ever seen a movie in your life that has two characters and one that they've never met before, but they look the same, one of them is evil. I'm willing to bet it's the one that just appeared.
From the other universe. Crazy.
Did
From
he...
Michael Keaton's universe, probably.
How much you want to bet that he killed his mom?
That's why I think he's going to be Eobard Thawne. Like, they're going to make him be the Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
Because right now he's also wearing what looks like kind of like a Red Death-ish look. Red Death is in a universe where everyone is Batman, pretty much, and almost all of them are evil.
My thing with that sounds cool. My thing, I'm willing to bet 95% it's going to be he just saw one of Batman's old suits and spray painted it.
Sure, but I'm saying Red Death, I'll show you a picture right now, Josh, hold on. Red Death, Googling things on the fly, that's how podcasts work.
It's the best way for it to work.
So, let's show you a picture here. It's got that, like, he's the red flat as a Batman emblem. So he has, it's very similar in idea and style. Because this Flash thing is taking a lot of different things. Also, he might have strangled a woman. Because Ezra Miller, there was footage like a year or so coming out at this point of him.
Look, this whole thing, no one knows anything about it. I'm just waiting until someone brings up in an interview for the movie and for him to just dodge the question.
For those who don't know, there's a footage of Ezra Miller. If you look it up, you'll find it very easily, I think, still.
Probably.
Ezra Miller looks like he's strangling a fan. We don't actually know what's happening at all.
There is no context to anything, so we have no idea.
Right.
And it was also, I think it was in some foreign country, I just don't remember where.
So we'll find out if he's problematic or not soon. But the movie looks interesting. I like to try to sell you on Michael Keaton again. It looks like he's bloody and his suit's all bloody on the floor there.
I thought that was Affleck's.
Well, it's fascinating.
It is.
We also got a new trailer for The Batman, the end of DC Fandom.
Yay, I like it.
Hey, what are you... Sweetheart, the way Penguin talks.
I love the way he's talking in this movie. It's great. Colin Farrell, my god.
It's unrecognizable.
It's great.
The Batman, you guys can go watch the trailer now. It's really cool. It's similar to the last one. The cinematography is beautiful. We actually got to see Andy Serkis this time. We got to see more of the Penguin. He's like, oh, watch it, sweetheart, to Batman, which is... An odd thing to say to Batman.
I got you!
I got you! And we got to see whether there's latte art.
Yes.
Which he probably did himself. That's kind of fun.
I imagine.
He uses little fingers in the latte, drawing around.
Yes.
Cool. Yay or nay?
I give it a hard yay.
Yay and Flash trailer.
Why not? Yay.
Yeah. It's got Michael Keaton. That's always fun. We got to see Ben Affleck again, probably, eventually.
At some point. For probably like 5 minutes.
We got to see a Black Adam first look where he just zaps a boy.
He disintegrates a man, which is all I wanted from this movie. If he was going to play a villain like Black Adam, I wanted him to actually be a villain, and he just straight up disintegrates a man with his bare hand.
He's also a bad guy, like he's disintegrating. Black Adam is also a villain, but sometimes an anti-hero,
But then if you're setting him up like that, then what's the point of him fighting Shazam?
Right.
There's a whole team of superheroes to fight him in this one movie. I think that he's set up himself as the main villain. And from the way that The Rock has been talking about the film, I'm willing to bet that's what the case is.
The high hierarchy of power that it changed. It's about drive. It's about power.
I love that one tweet that someone said, like, what is Shazam going to do when he fights Black Adam? And Dwayne Johnson replied with, not a fucking thing.
Yep.
It's great. I'm excited.
Also, other things happen at Phantom. Moving on. Bisexuality, Josh.
It's a thing that people are.
Crazy. Like, a while ago we got about Tim Drake coming out as bi, which, duh. But what doesn't make sense to me is they announced a Superboy, Superman character being bisexual. I think it's funny watching things like Fox News saying, Clark can't be bi now. First of all, he's fictional. Second of all, he's an alien, so is it kind of bestiality anyway if he has sex with a human?
And third of all, it's the wrong
Clark Kent.
It's the different Superman.
It's his son, Jonathan Kent, who, sure, why not? People always say, don't turn characters by, make new characters. This is a new character made about 5 years ago. He was introduced as a child, has to grow up and come out. That's a very natural way to do it.
That's how it's supposed to be done.
Right, that is the creating a new character and doing it. That makes sense. What my thing is it's the wrong Superboy.
I've been hearing about this from so many different people for, like, whenever it was that they announced it, and I think it's funny, especially because I finished Titans, and clearly Connor Kent is very much not bi in the show. Very clearly.
Neither is Tim Drake probably in that show much either yet, but he's been, like, two scenes probably or something.
He's been in a few episodes. He hasn't done anything. No one did anything in the show.
Kick someone and get invited to the Titans.
Okay, here's my tiny little rant.
Nope.
Tiny, tiny, tiny.
I wrote it in for you later.
Oh, never mind then. I'll save it for later.
Okay, so Tim Drake, it's odd because Connor Kent and him flirt a lot, and Connor Kent also his generation's like Superboy, like in the same generation of sidekicks. But also, Jonathan Kent has a book out, and Connor Kent does not. that's probably the only reason why, is because Jonathan Kent is being written currently in continuity.
I took it. Has a book out like that. Jonathan literally wrote a book.
He has a current comic issue run going, whereas Conrad Kent does not. Okay, at worst, people, you should be indifferent to this. No one should be angry at this. There's no reason to be angry at this.
I'm literally indifferent because I do not read the comics. So if he was, great. If he's not, great. Does not matter to me.
Like, if it's a positive, but also it's a net positive versus just neutral otherwise. So yay!
Yay!
More diversity and making queer people represented. Love it. So, speaking of Tim Drake, Josh, the show Titans, which I talked about before a few months ago, about the trailer, has now finished. I've watched none of it. Josh has watched the entire season 3.
I hate...
You have 1 minute to write about your best things or worst things in it. Go.
No. Okay. Tim Drake gets called on to be on the Titans after doing one kick and one punch, both that he said that he got from YouTube. Donna comes back from death from electricity, and she lasses herself up to electricity and does not die at all. Dick Grayson dies at one point, has a weird moment of where he's Joker beating the shit out of Jason Todd. Makes no sense. Doesn't do a single arc. No one has any arcs here. Nothing makes any sense. Superboy could easily find out where Scarecrow was and end it all, but no, it takes 13 episodes to figure that out. Also, Red Hood storyline. They completely fuck it up. None of it matters at the end. Batman crowbars Joker, and he tries to commit suicide, and it's never mentioned. Everything is horrible. I hate it all, and I will definitely not be watching season 4. Also, Scarecrow in the season, they try to make him like he's 10 steps ahead of everything, but it doesn't work, and it's just the worst. I hate it all. Can I say anything else? Because I don't know what else to say.
That's a good... You have, like, 5 seconds left.
Yay! Don't watch Titans season 3. Don't watch Titans at all. Go watch Doom Patrol instead.
Agreed. Also, the fact that, first off, Batman fails at committing suicide... Please, if you're ever struggling, call a hotline, get some help, get some therapy, get some medication, something to help yourself always. Take a day off, relax yourself. Mental health is very important. But Bruce Wayne, with the way he is, cannot fail at it.
He just...
Doesn't Donna Troy stop him?
He goes to, like, the secret Wayne Manor in some other country that no one apparently knows about, and he just, like, gas, like, pours gas everywhere. It's just gonna, like, you know, light himself up, but he gets himself knocked out from, like, you know, the overwhelming of the fumes and everything. Donna Troy just shows up out of nowhere after she comes back to life. I don't know how, don't know why. It's never explained. She saves him, and that's it. We don't see him again until the last episode, and it's never brought up again.
Also, from what I've heard about Titans, based on the fact that Bruce Wayne kills the Joker, there is zero reason for Red Hood to even exist as a murderer or Red Hood at all, because the entire story hinges on the idea that Batman will not kill Joker.
Exactly. And in the last episode, Jason asks Bruce something like, "Did you kill Joker for me?" And Bruce said yes, and Jason says, "Thank you." And that one exchange completely fundamentally both misunderstands both characters and the Red Hood storyline.
So Buzz Lightyear's a movie.
It is!
We're getting a movie called Lightyear. It's a Pixar film about the character in universe of Toy Story that the toy of Buzz Lightyear is based on. So in universe, there's a movie and TV show about Buzz Lightyear and Star Command. They actually have a VHS tapes of, you can get of Buzz Lightyear, the adventures of Buzz Lightyear and Commander of Star Command. And it's fun. It has Zurg. It's like a little short animated thing. And it's fun. I have it, and that's like 20 years old. So now they're actually making a full movie about, but even before then, of the character. Josh, discuss your idea on the movie.
My idea on the movie?
Your thoughts on the movie.
They're going so hard with this movie.
It's very pretty.
It looks so good. And, like, I'm very curious to see what it's like. But just the one teaser, I'm just like, they're going for it. And I'm all here for it. I have no idea what it's really going to be like. But I hope it's high in emotions and action and space adventures for kids.
I'm giving it a yay moving on, I think.
Me too.
Cool. Uncharted movie trailer. Not a lot of time to talk about Josh.
I'm aware.
Uncharted's a movie that's happening. It looks like Peter Parker jumping on crates.
I have so many mixed feelings about this. I'm fine with Tom Holland playing a young Nathan Drake. I'm not fine with Mark Wahlberg playing Sully, especially after this. He just looks like he's doing his normal thing, which in some cases it's fine. Here, I don't think it is. But my biggest gripe with it is that it seems like they're taking elements from all the different games and putting them into this. But especially the one that I didn't want them to touch at all in this is the story of the fourth game. And I'm not going to get into it because it's too much, but... all of that game is about exploring Nathan's character and his past and him coming to terms with everything in his life. It's a very good emotional story of exploration of this kind of character. But putting those story elements into a prequel doesn't really work, especially since you're missing key characters for the story. That's my two cents on it. I'm very worried, but I have hope.
If nothing else, it looks like potentially a fun adventure movie.
Yes, if nothing else, fine. If nothing else, it looks like the action's going to be fun, and it seems like that everyone had fun making the movie. Like, the stories of the first three games, they're not that complex. It was more just the fun characters and fun set pieces is why it worked. The fourth game is the only one that really actually explores the character and has more to its story than before. So, who knows?
I'm giving a yay. Big Josh upset.
The face that you were giving? You were just like, do I say it? Do I say it?
I have not played a single Uncharted game, so I'm giving a hearty yay because it's a perfect adaptation of all of the games combined. Anyway, moving on. Movies have been delayed again.
Which ones?
Lots, actually.
Oh, right.
So, one thing is, Indiana Jones 5 has been delayed to 2023, and they're shooting it now. It's going to be 2 years after they shot the movie that's going to come out. And he's already so old.
He's already injured himself making the movie. I keep saying that this should not have existed. I love that James Mangold is directing it. I hope that he brings a lot of what he did with Logan onto this, but I really don't need this movie.
All the other moving things that I have on the list here are Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness was moved from March 25th to May 6th. Thor Love and Thunder was changed from May 6th to July 8th. Black Panther Wakanda Forever was changed to from November 11th to July 8th. Moving the Marvels to 2023 and Ant-Man and the Wasp to July 28th, 2023. Also, I'm calling it that because Quantumania has a logo now, and it's just a bunch of circles.
There's gotta be a reason for it.
I now, I understand what letters mean.
There has to be a reason for that we just don't know because we haven't seen the movie yet.
Hopefully, the trailer will explain it.
That's the hope.
I don't have a yay or nay on that. It's happening.
My theory on it is because of the strikes, they're like, it's a contingency plan for in case, like, you know, like, the strikes go on for a long time, so they want to make sure that they still have a good release schedule.
Yup. Also, there's Guardians in the Galaxy. A game came out of Guardians of the Galaxy that Josh just bought today.
I bought it, I got to play like 5 minutes of it, and I wanted to play more of it before we started this, but Sean said no. He denied me the chance. So all I can say is that, so far, the game looks pretty.
Doesn't it? He'll give you an update next week.
Yes. Hopefully by then I'll beat it.
Other games exist.
Yes, I've played some.
There's a game called Multiverses coming out.
Don't know.
It's not a question. There's a game called Multiverses.
I'm allowed to say it. I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a Warner Bros. Ripoff of Smash Bros. And it may go free to play. So the idea of this game will involve Shaggy Rogers in his like weird god form from memes. It will have Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, Tom and Jerry, Batman, and other Warner Brothers-like characters. The Ideas game will be claimed to be similar to Mortal Kombat mixed with Smash Bros. With WB characters.
Mortal Kombat and Smash Bros., the way the fighting happens, are very, very different.
It also could bring in Tony Soprano. It also could bring in Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. This is news from Games Beat. Adventure Beat, so...
Why Tony Soprano?
This is really funny to me.
What? Okay then, sure.
I'm giving this a nay. No, a yay, because it's acknowledging the memes of Shaggy are canon in this world.
The game only exists for the meme, so I'm giving it a yay.
Brendan Fraser, the Renaissance, we're living in it.
We're living in it, and I'm so happy we're living in it.
He was just announced to be cast as Firefly in the Batwoman movie. Josh, do you know anything about who Firefly is?
He's Burned Man, but he likes to make things hot.
Basically, he is a man with wings and a flamethrower. He has a jetpack and a flamethrower, and that's kind of his whole shtick.
Yes.
He often wears yellow, but sometimes he doesn't. He's a cool villain. I like a lot of the lower level villains in Gotham, and I think he would work really well. And Brendan Fraser already is a DC character, which is pretty cool. He doesn't do some Doom Patrol.
I thought you were saying that Brendan Fraser, the man himself, was a DC character.
He's playing
He is Robot Man in Doom Patrol, and he is fucking amazing in it. I love it.
He's actually in the suit almost all the time.
It's so good. I love it. If there's any reason to watch Doom Patrol, it is because of him.
Meaning he'll probably commit to wearing the suit again if he's playing Firefly.
Yeah. Well, I think right now he's either filming or he's just finishing filming a film where he had to gain like a huge amount of weight. So like it's gonna be a bit until he like loses that weight to
for it.
I mean, he could.
Who knows? Also, Batwoman movie.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Actually, I'm giving yay because it's Brendan Fraser. I want to see more of him in it.
Yes, Brendan Fraser is always a yay.
Somehow trumps the our rule for an eyes-out casting of the Netflix streaming thing.
Yes,
it's the same thing here with the streaming only instead of theater release, but this time it's got Brendan Fraser, so I'm on board.
Look, it's our rules. We're allowed to do what we want.
Speaking of weird creatures, sandworms.
Yes,
dude,
we saw it.
Sandworms, people, sandworms.
They're big. We saw it in IMAX, so they were even bigger.
It's a long movie.
It was, but I loved it.
We might do a mini episode of thing about just talking about that movie quickly, maybe next week, who knows. But it's very pretty, it's very long, it's half of the book, and part two, which is announced to be confirmed to come out.
Yes. If you don't know anything about Dune, I'm not going to get into the plot, but be prepared. This is part one, and like most part ones, it is mostly talking. There's not a huge amount of action, so be prepared for it to be a very slow film. If you've seen Blade Runner 2049, it's from the same director as that, so be prepared for a film very similar to that.
He made Arrival. He made
Arrival, Sicario, Prisoners. He is a fantastic director.
This movie, though, if you also not familiar with the story, the book, and how the book commentates on the white savior trope. This movie does not commentate on it yet.
Yeah,
it's the trope.
It's the commentary on it kind of inadvertently was saved for part two just because of how the story is structured.
Which is unfortunate. So we is a little bit problematic in the one aspect, but hopefully we got fixed. It's not a full story yet. The movie doesn't really have a clear cut ending yet. It kind of just stops and like wait for more. So
yeah,
it's good. If you're interested in it, go watch it. If you're
please. Unless you are not able to actually see it in theaters for safety reasons or for other personal reasons, please go see this in theaters. I swear to you, it is an experience unlike any other.
If you watch it at home, put your phone away, put your laptop away, or whoever you're watching on TV, because you do not need any distractions in this movie. You need to pay attention the entire time, and a lot of words, a lot of Arrakis.
A lot of sand.
Spice. A lot of pepper on this Arrakis planet.
Yes, spicy spice.
It's good. If you're watching it for Zendaya, don't watch it for that reason. She's in it for 7 minutes.
Watch it for the rest of the cast. They're all great.
Right.
Oscar Isaac has this beautiful beard.
And they shaved his Momoas. It's trade-off. So, on to our Happy Halloween Kills main topic.
Oh, yeah, we saw those.
So, we had never watched, really, the Halloweens.
I had only seen the 2018 Halloween one. Yeah, I saw clips of the original.
So, we watched, both for the podcast and for our own enjoyment, Halloween from 1978, the original. We watched the 2018 Halloween film, and then this new sequel to it, Halloween Kills.
Yes. It was a lot of Michael Myers for 3 days in a row.
So much stabbing.
A lot of stabbing.
So many other random ways to kill. The gun in the door.
My favorite kill of the movie.
Let's start with how stupid the timeline is for Halloween. I'm going to explain the timeline of Halloween right now. So you're not familiar with the Halloween films. Also, spoilers for Halloween, 1978 original, Halloween Kills. Well, we'll get to that one actually later. We'll talk about Halloween first, and then Halloween 2018, and then Halloween Kills.
There's not a huge amount to spoil for the original, though, for being honest.
There's not a huge amount to spoil for any of these. It's literally just a man who can't die gets stabbed a lot, and then stabs back a lot. That's kind of the films.
Especially this one.
And it's got people who get killed a lot. That's the movies, and they take place around Halloween.
On Halloween.
So, the Halloween movie timeline is complicated. It starts with the movie Halloween 1978. Then we have a 3-branch timeline, which branches again. So yeah. Really, there's 4 branches. We have the first Halloween, then if you want to continue immediately where it is, you can watch Halloween 2. And then from there, you want to have Laurie die or survive? If you want to have Laurie die, who's the main antagonist to Michael, main protagonist slash the one who Michael Myers is trying to kill for a lot of movies, played by the wonderful
Miss Jamie Lee Curtis.
If you want to continue from Halloween 2 and Laurie lives, then you go to H2O, just add water. No, H2O means Halloween 20 years later. And then from there, you go to Halloween Resurrection. If you want to watch the time where Laurie dies after Halloween 2, then go to Halloween 4, then Halloween 3, then Halloween 5. Because that makes sense, right?
Yes.
If instead you want to watch Halloween, a remake, then watch the remake, and then Halloween 2, which is a different Halloween 2 than the other Halloween 2. If you don't watch Halloween 2018, that is 40 years later instead of 20 years later, that branches off of Halloween 1. So, you have, after you see Halloween 1, you can either watch Halloween 2, Halloween from 2018, or the Halloween remake. I suggest watching the 2018 one. It's the best we've seen so far of the 3 we've seen. And then from the Halloween 2018 one, you go to Halloween Kills, which is what just came out. So, we are watching what is called the middle timeline, Josh.
Yes.
The H4O timeline.
It's, yeah.
So, the 1978 film, nothing really happens for an hour.
Yep.
It's like an hour 40-ish, hour 50, and it's, if you do not know what we're talking about, Michael Myers is the killer in these movies. He wears a Halloween, like it's plain white mask that gets damaged over the years. It's pretty vague. It's based off of Captain Kirk's face. What's his face?
William Shatner?
Yes. It's based off of William Shatner's face, legitimately. And he wears a jumpsuit. Like a, basically a mechanics kind of jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And he as a 6-year-old, stabbed his sister in the tits. As literally how they phrase it in the movie. He killed his sister as a 6-year-old, walked into her room, stabbed her naked body, and killed her. Walked out when the police went to a psych ward for 15 years, then came back to Halloween night and murdered 5 people and a dog. And then was put in prison. And then from there, that's when the timeline branches, pretty much. That's the end of the first film. Not much to spoil. There's not much to spoil. It's kind of just, he kills horny teens. And there's not much of a rhyme reason for it. He also decorates the bodies. And it's very, yeah. It's not, he also moves a freaking gravestone. And
where does he keep it? His pockets aren't that deep.
They're Animal Crossing pockets. They're huge. They're Minecraft pockets.
But not in the 2018 one. That one's just a car mechanics jumpsuit.
It's very weird because he literally moves a freaking tombstone to his house, but he walks it. It's kind of just go with it, most of it. He isn't supernatural, depending on the timeline, and we'll get into that soon. Next up is the Halloween 2018 film, which is what we watched. Which is 40 years after that. And that's where it gets really good. Genuinely good. Josh, what are your thoughts on the first movie? Yay or nay?
I feel like I have to give it a yay because like it did so much for the genre of horror. But at the same time, I want to give it a nay because it's so. Why can't I do both?
That's literally the one rule we have in this podcast.
Fine, I'll give it a nay. I was really bored out of my mind, if I'm being completely honest.
I give it a nay. Because there was zero goal at all for writing the movie. Things just happened, and I didn't like any character besides the one girl named Lindsay, who was a small child. It was really funny because she just, the way the kids were written in that movie, the way the kids are written in all the movies now we've seen are pretty good. But Lori is the one smart character in that first movie, and by smart I mean the one not stupid character. They make her smart by comparison. She more just acts like a normal person. Anyway, on a 2018 film, Josh, good movie.
Yes.
That one is a hard day for me.
Yes.
If you have not seen any Halloween films and you watch one of the films, watch the Halloween one that came out in 2018. You don't need any other context for it. It was a soft reboot because it references the original one, but you also can just watch it how it is. This time, the main character, Laurie Strode, it's 40 years later. She has a daughter and a granddaughter who are kind of estranged from her now. They're isolated. She is consumed by paranoia for 40 years now of Michael might come back, and it's haunting and terrifying because he's still alive, he's still out there. Josh, good film?
Yes, good film. And even if you don't, you really honestly don't have to watch the original to watch this.
That's what I just said, but yes.
Yes, I like to make sure that I repeat things that I'm totally paying attention to.
Put your phone down, Josh.
I'm writing an email. I'm doing my best, Julius.
Halloween 2018 is really interesting because the way they treat Michael Myers and the way they treat a lot of the characters in it, you are not bored by any of the characters' plot lines in it, pretty much.
Nope.
It all makes sense. It fits together. The town feels like a character. One change that doesn't make sense for continuity of the story. It makes sense logically in filmmaker world, but not in story world. So in 1978, they do trick-or-treating during the daytime.
Yes.
So in the first film, they trick-or-treat during the daytime, very, very clearly for budgetary reasons.
Yes.
They need to light it. But usually you do that for safety's sake for the kids.
Yes.
And then this same town that Michael Myers came back to 40 years later, now they trick-or-treat at night. Which, again, why would you change that aspect of the town from trick-or-treating during the daytime to trick-or-treating at nighttime?
Well, usually it happens, because as a kid, I would always see kids go out, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and to start trick-or-treating, and many would continue on until, nighttime. It's not an uncommon thing. And no one knew about Michael Myers, during the 70s. They didn't know that he was a problem. And even now, he's been in jail for 40 years. No one ever suspected him of breaking out.
Why would this town change when you actually have a history of this? Not great. It's literally for aesthetic reasons.
Yes.
That's the actual reason why.
Yes.
Because logically, it wouldn't change that aspect.
Correct.
I thought it was fascinating. Halloween Kills pick up the exact second Halloween 2018 ends.
Correct.
Which is a smart plan.
Correct.
But 2018 is much more concise and well put together film than Halloween Kills is.
Yes.
Halloween Kills is kind of nonsense for a lot of it. But Josh, evil dies tonight.
They say that so much. My thing with Halloween Kills is that it seems like it's similar to the Star Wars prequels and how it's just there to more build up for the final act, which is clearly the film that they want to tell, but they know they have that extra stuff that they need to get to for it.
Like middle of a trilogy should still have an ending to that film, to any of the arcs that happen.
Correct.
No arc actually concludes in this film. There is, including plot or character.
Correct.
At the end, Michael is somewhat spoilersy here. At the end, Michael is kind of captured, and then just gets away, and is in the house again. There's police everywhere. And all of a sudden, he's in the house and stabs them all.
Look, if there's anything we've learned from these movies, he's great at teleporting, or walking very slow and very fast, and being very quiet.
Michael Myers is the spawn of Satan. Because he clearly can just either waddle or teleport. There is no in-between. He is like an Enderman from Minecraft. He can either walk very, very slowly or just teleport around.
This is how we get the Minecraft movie.
Michael Myers is all the Enderman. Yeah, they're all fun, in a way.
Yeah.
If you are okay with also gory, so if you don't like that kind of stuff and don't watch this, there are some very dragged-out kills.
In which one?
Halloween Kills.
It was
3 minutes of him being stabbed and dragged and hurt.
I thought it was. It got creative. That one guy, he just grabs all the kitchen knives and just keeps stabbing him. Just like Michael.
So
he's already dead.
There are also families that are introduced just to be killed that are old lady and old man living together. I have no effect on the story at all. I have no relation to any other characters in the story.
I mean, that's kind of what you expect from a slasher film, though, that characters just to be there just to be the dead bodies.
I'm fine with characters being there just be dead bodies, but and they're in later in the film. The story is pretty messy.
Look, there's one thing I expect from the, from any slasher film is there to be pointless characters just to die.
Again, I said, yes, I agree, and I'm fine with that. It's just, but this runtime is so messy and it's long, and there's just.
It's not long. It's like an hour 40.
It feels long because none of the stories are coherent. Mm. There's numerous plot lines. It's very fun. It's very frivolous. I'd watch it again because I'm enthralled by the idea of Michael Myers at this point now. I'm invested in this lore. It's completely stupid, the fact that he cannot die. Actually, the fact that no one ever shoots his head or goes for the head in any way.
There were so many times that they could have shot him or hit him in the head. Like Anthony Michael Hall, like, has a baseball bat the whole film, and, like, you're not going to try to crack his head like an egg?
At one point, in Halloween Kills, a whole town has him surrounded. And they stop hitting him. He's beaten down to the ground.
Well, because they think he's dead.
And then they take turns. When he gets starts to get back up, because, of course, he gets back up, they literally take turns hitting him again. Start fighting again, together again!
If they watched It Chapter 1, they would have known that beating the shit out of him together would equal success.
Also, like, we learned in Halloween 2018 that he can lose fingers. I mean, parts of why he can be detached. Rip off his arms! Cut him off! Because there are actual solutions to this problem here, just... but they're not addressed because they want you to yell at the screen, like, no, don't do that! They want you to say, don't go in there!
No, because they need a sequel.
Right. They don't actually need a sequel. They could just end the franchise.
Or they need a sequel.
I thought it was very interesting the way they had, because when you think at the end of the 2018 film that they defeat him because he's burned alive, like, story-wise, that's an the conclusion of he's burned alive. The second we see Halloween Kills, fire trucks go over that way. And it's like, as an audience member, it's, no, don't do that.
Yeah. But also, like, in reality, like, did she not expect that to happen?
Right. Of course there'll be fire trucks coming. Also, all the firefighters in great shape cannot defeat this 60-year-old man.
Again, because they've attacked him one-on-one.
But he... How did Michael Myers learn ninja skills?
It's best to not think about these things.
How did he learn how to drive a car very well?
Books. Did you not watch the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? He trained them all by reading a book.
It's true. Overall, fun movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen it twice now, right?
Yeah.
I love seeing the headlines that of saying Michael Myers is homophobic. Because also, Michael Myers in this movie, they have just, this is a trope that doesn't need to be in the movie at all. They have the gay couple that's in there to die. But why? They literally did not, that did not have to happen the way it did. Have at least one of the two of them survive.
I will say, they could have gone even more stereotypical with them being gay, but they actually didn't, and I was surprised by that.
They had the names Big John and Little John. They have the same fucking name. It's very odd because It Chapter 2 got criticized for the same thing of the hate crime and Pennywise just ripping them apart.
Well, what's weird about that is that's like almost exactly how it goes in the book. And even in the book, it's just like...
Why?
Yeah. Well, I guess... Well, no. Book, it makes more sense because it came out in the 80s during the AIDS epidemic. So in that, it makes more sense for the time.
But you could change that for the movie. I will say he should have ran at the end. But... okay. Baby John, Little John, this gay couple get killed by Michael Myers because almost everyone in the movie gets killed by Michael Myers. That makes sense.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
The people that, like, all go after him basically die. Except for, like, a few people.
Yes, let's band together. Oh, actually, let's split up. I get the idea to cover more ground. It's also a little funny because, like, this is a man who is murdering everyone.
Eh.
They don't actually know how much he can do now. So that makes sense. It's very weird, though, the talent show they had. Tommy's character walked up and, like, I'm not going to do the talent here. It's going to remind you all of gruesome murders. Cool, bye. What was that?
I will say, it's weird. The only other thing I've seen Anthony Michael Hall in, aside from his 80s movies, was in The Dark Knight. So it's weird to see him go from... He was the reporter in the Dark Knight.
Right.
Yeah.
2018 was the best one so far?
Yep.
So how dumb is this timeline? Because in the side timeline, one of them, we learn, spoilers for Halloween's 2 through 5, I guess, that he's actually the secret brother of Laurie Strode, and it's a battle of good and evil between the two of them, that he has a connection to her supernaturally, as well as the fact that he has an ancient curse on him that he will keep being revived unless something vague magic.
This is why I don't watch the sequels. Also, because I've heard they're bad.
Maybe watch them next year. Who knows?
Do I want to, though?
Well, we have to have a Halloween special every year, Josh.
It doesn't have to be about the Halloween movies, though. It could be about other Halloween
screams,
things.
All of the screams.
We could. Scream 5, or just, it's called Scream. Again, this is another thing I hate about these horror franchises being rebooted. The new sequels or reboots, they just call themselves after the original title, even though they're sequels. The new Scream movie, it's Scream 5, but they're calling it Scream. I don't know why.
Good movie to watch if you like slashers.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in a hospital bed for most of the movie. She does not get to do anything. For narrative reasons, it makes sense. Yes.
But also, it's upsetting. Because the 2018 one was so good because she was such a great performance in it.
Oh, yeah.
She was the best part of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And in this one, it's, I had to sit in a bed and be lied to. That's her character. And it sucks. Also, they killed the wrong man. We're the monster, actually, guys. Society is the monster. That's an actual theme in this movie. Society is the real villain.
Yeah, this movie tries to do a lot when it needed to do less.
There are mixed themes in this movie. A lot of it. Stick to the slashy slashy.
Just go watch for people getting stabbed in funny ways.
I will, however, say I hope in Halloween Ends they do make him touch on the supernatural aspect of him again, because I want to have definitively that he is not a normal man. Because he keeps saying, he's just human, we can kill him. You have burned him alive. You have shot him repeatedly. He has been stabbed. He has been twisted. He has been all these
so many things, and he's fine. He literally got stabbed with a pitchfork, got his like neck basically broken on a stair, and then just walked it off.
I will say, dumbest weapon award in the movie goes to a woman holding an iron. The care of Lindsay.
I was going to go with Big John's using the tiny little cheese knife. What was he going to do with that?
That's bad, but an entire town in a small town that would definitely have guns in a rural area. Bring out bats, and that's fine, but this one brings out an iron from her ironing board.
I mean,
they all bring weapons that are close-range weapons, and he's good at close-range attacking. Bring out the guns. You clearly should have guns in this town. I feel like. Also, the sheriff loses all power.
He really does. It's kind of funny, honestly.
There is a cop in a hospital who loses all say because Tommy, the kid in the first one who's now older,
he just keeps saying evil dies tonight, and then he unites the town. The sheriff's, the whole, I love, on my second watch, just watching the sheriff just kind of be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening? Like, he's just clearly, like, lost as to what's happening, and it's kind of funny.
They drive an innocent mental hospital patient to suicide.
Yeah.
This movie has some really weird mixed themes in it that...
It does.
Just be more concise. Like, focus on the best part of the movie you could focus on. Also, Connor should not have been forgiven for cheating, but I get it.
Yeah.
Because it's like horror.
It's clear, but also I think clearly in the moment, it's just like, I almost died tonight. There's been so much that's been happening. This, we'll worry about it later.
It just shows that love is more powerful than death, except when it's not.
It's definitely not for him.
Those are the movies you should watch. The 2018 one, and I guess this one, I think if you want to watch the first one for context, you can do that.
You can. You don't necessarily have to, but you can.
Watch a recap online instead, yeah. Or read a recap of the best scene or something.
I know we're going to piss off a lot of diehard horror fans on our negative comments on the original.
It's just so slow and boring and nothing happens. I like what the slowness in that movie. It has a good opening scene. I like the opening scene with the six-year-old version of him. It's well done.
It doesn't really make sense for him to be POV stabbing his sister and looking at his hand, though.
Or her looking at her nude breasts.
I don't think he was necessarily focused on that.
No, but the movie was.
Well, yeah, because it was the 70s, and it was an R-rated movie.
Right, gotta show this tits. So, Josh, there are weird stories in superheroes and stuff. I'm talking about Pepsi Man.
We're talking about the video game?
The video game, the character, the weirdness that is Pepsi Man.
I remember, I've seen like clips of the game, but that's all I remember of this.
So, what do you know about Pepsi Man?
He got a video game on the original PlayStation, and he makes you drink Pepsi, I think.
So Pepsi Man is... I'm sorry, Pepsi, because don't kill us for this, or don't kill us. Don't Michael Myers us Pepsi. So it's an official Pepsi mascot from Pepsi's Japanese corporate branch.
Huh. Did not know that.
Me either. So it was created around the 1990s, which makes complete sense.
Yep.
It's a very 90s thing.
Did Coke do something similar, and that's why they did this?
No, this is just a Japanese idea they had.
Okay.
It's fascinating, because he took on three different outfits, each one representing the current style of Pepsi can.
How many Pepsis were being made? There's original, there's Diet, and what's the other one?
It's like clear Pepsi. Yeah.
I thought that stopped, like, in the 80s. And then, I know they brought it back. Maybe it was the 90s.
Yeah, it was 90s.
Gotcha.
It was in 1992 to 1994-ish. So yeah, that's where it was from.
I remember when they brought Crystal Pepsi back a couple of years ago, I bought a bottle to try it. It was weird.
Did it taste like Pepsi?
It did, but like there was, I don't know, there was something off about it. Like just slightly off.
12 commercials were created around the creation of the character. It's not a lot, but like that's also a decent amount to have to
be yeah. right.
His role in the advertisements is to appear with Pepsi to thirsty people or people craving soda. Here you go. Drink that. Kind of like Kool-Aid Man a little bit.
Yeah, but Kool-Aid Man, like, cool. is... Yeah. he bounces out of walls.
Pepsi Man is mostly silent. He has no face except for a hole that opens up whenever he delivers a Pepsi. Wait.
Well, that's horrifying.
Another more minor mascot, Pepsi Woman. Also featured in a few of her own commercials for Pepsi Twist. Her appearance is basically a female Pepsi Man wearing a lemon-shaped balaclava. Cool. Now, in 1994, Sega AM2 released the Sega Saturn version of its arcade fighting game, Fighting Vipers. In this game, Pepsi Man was included as a special character, with his specialty listed as being the ability to quench one's thirst.
That sounds suggestive.
He does not appear in any other version or sequel.
I wonder why.
In 1999, KID developed a video game for the PlayStation called Pepsi Man. And that's the rest of this video, the rest of this talk will bring us to the Pepsi Man video game. So again, it is technically a superhero, but also not one.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
It's an action game. PlayStation, it was released in Japan in 1999. And based on the mascot. So it focuses on the player avoiding obstacles by running, dashing, jumping, while Pepsi Man automatically runs forward throughout each of the game stages. So it's kind of like Temple Run, then.
I guess.
In, like, mechanics? I've seen gameplay this before. Like, people have done this in tournaments and speedruns on Twitch and stuff. And I think it's so fascinating. It's been, like, often compared against, like, Crash Bandicoot, and I think it's very fat, like, in its simplicity and its style. It was also a writer for Complex, included on a list of company-branded games that didn't suck, commenting that it is not a bad game as long as the player can tolerate the large amount of advertising in it. So it's gained more traction from Let's Play channels and from speedruns on Twitch, and legit tournaments have had this game.
So what you're telling me is they're going to pull another Shaq Fu and remake this game.
What is Shaq Fu?
How do you not know about Shaq Fu? Is Shaquille O'Neal in a Kung Fu fighting game?
Wait, I just Googled this now. Holy shit.
How have you never heard of this?
This is... Oh my god. This looks amazing. I need to play it now.
It was... The original was awful and horrible, but then the remake, you can actually... It's a playable game. It was crowdfunded, I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty cool. Pepsi Man takes place in three stages. San Francisco, New York, and Texas.
Of course.
In the original version of it. And then the last one takes place in Pepsi City.
Is everyone Pepsi, or does everyone drink Pepsi?
It doesn't say. It just says Pepsi City with Pepsi branded obstacles.
Okay.
Everything is a Pepsi thing at that point. Every house, like tree, every car.
Why does that sound like a future dystopian film made in the mid-90s?
Mac and Me? What?
Let's not talk about that.
In some stages, Pepsi Man's head becomes stuck inside a steel drum, which inverts the controls. And in some, he rides on a skateboard, which requires the player to avoid all obstacles. Cool.
Subway Surfer took a lot from this game.
Yeah, it kind of did. Its reception was mixed at first. Comparing it to Metro Cross Paperboy, it was called Super Simple. But anyway, apparently it didn't suck. The game was obsessed with America and portrayed Americans as unhygienic hillbillies. In a manner that makes it unclear if it was a self-aware parody or not.
I don't think I'd never explain it. That sounds amazing. Unhygienic hillbillies.
That's what his reviewer Ian said early on, so.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. In 2011, Alistair Pinstoff of Destructo reviewed the game and described it as that. So that's very fascinating to me. I don't play the game, but I hope to God that there actually are people who look like unhygienic hillbillies in this game. And I want to keep the story short, but Pepsi Man is a game and a character in the mid-90s, who is very 90s. Do you know what he looks like?
Vaguely. Ah, yeah, that's right.
You saw what he looked like. He looks dumb.
Yes, he does.
He's got a chain around his neck.
He do. I'm not a fan.
I mean, it's Fascinating.
Yes.
Would you enjoy seeing more superheroes based on Dota?
Not once has that ever been a thought that has occurred in my life, so I'm going to go with no on that one.
It feels like something that would go alongside, though, like in Mac and Me, that kind of idea of, look, a whole... I would watch a Pepsi Man movie solely because it feels like it'd be the same level of ham-fisted branding as Mac and Me.
Yes, yes it would.
And I've watched Mac and Me. If you don't know what Mac and Me is, audience, it is a movie about an E.T. ripoff about Coke and McDonald's.
Yes. I've only ever seen clips of it, and that's all I will ever see of it.
It's very weird. But yeah, that's our super story of the week, and that's about our episode. We talk about Halloween. Zzz. Happy Halloween, kills. Follow us on all those social medias and such. You can follow the Nerd Talk Productions Twitter at nerdtalk_prod. Also, email us with your questions at nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com and tweet at us with the hashtag GeekSpeakPod. Or tweet at Josh. Annoy him. Spam him.
Sure, why not? I've been a bit bored this week. Sure, I could always use some friends.
Podcast friends?
Yes. If you do a podcast or own a podcast, then friend me up. I don't really know what to do with that, but do it.
What's your Twitter, Josh?
J_Rudy28 Instagram, J_Rudy16. Don't ask me why they're both different. YouTube channel, Josh Rudolph. My video about the movie Nobody hit 10,000 views out of nowhere, so that was pretty neat.
Also, Josh has Letterboxd. What's Letterboxd, Josh?
Nerd4Film28, and those numbers are, in fact, numbers.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at TheFigureNerd, and I also run the NerdTalk/GeekSpeak stuff. That's about our podcast for the week. I'm excited. This is a fun time, and we talk about bisexuality and Uncharted and Brendan Fraser and Shaggy as a God, as well as Halloween's.
Halloween!
And if you want to see the decom for this episode, it'll come out probably either the exact same time as this or the next day about Halloween Town 2, Revenge of Calabar?
Calabar's Revenge.
All right. Thank you for listening. Make sure to go and listen to the decom then.
Yep.
See you next time.
Peace!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.